Good morning and welcome to a special edition of the Gareth Cliff Show. While Sia and I are in New York learning more about the international best practice in technology and online media, I thought it would be a good opportunity to replay my recent conversation with DJ Fresh, DJ Spoo, Thibaut Touch, Robert Marawa, and Trevor Gumby.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Stand by for a conversation between DJ Fresh, DJ Spoo, Robert Marawa, Thibaut Touch, Trevor Gumby, and me in just a short while on CliffCentral.com. Hashtag Pure Conversations.
Welcome to Pure Conversations. I'm Trevor Gumby. Welcome. Yeah, so Pure Conversations. This all started with me a couple of weeks ago tweeting what my dream lineup on radio would look like. Okay, and we've got the legends in the building. Most of them came. My heroes, people that didn't come. Bonang, first of all, I had mentioned her in my lineup, and apparently Bonang does not want to do radio anymore, which I find very weird, because I mean, radio station, there's so many CD covers for her to use, but she didn't come through. Robert Marawa is on his way. I absolutely love him. I consider him the Luther Vandross of radio.
Okay.
Not because of his silky voice, but because of his his fluctuating weight. You know, it's like his relationship with his employers. It's always up or down, you know?
You don't want to give him a heart attack, stop.
Oh, yeah, he might have, with all those clogged arteries, eh?
Wow. Who are you?
One of my favorite people is in the building! Thibaut Touch. My man. I have no idea how Thibaut Touch managed to get fired from Metro, because he had a killer drive time show, and all I can think about is that he spoke Venek in his American accent, and Cloudy just didn't understand him, so he had to go, you know? But I like how you picked up so quickly, you know? It's testament to the hustler that you are, and how fast you adapt to things. Like, you were stuck in New York for 10 minutes, and you still can't shake that accent? It's a beautiful thing to watch. Beautiful. Oh, DJ Spoo, one of the loves of my life. I had to fill his boots. Because we did the TV show.
Friends like these,
yeah. You know.
Hold on. So Trevor's like that guy that's the best man at your wedding and he's looking at your wife.
Exactly. See, now this is the thing. Many people don't know, but DJ Swoo and I have so much in common. Because we both fucked Zahara.
Wow. Oh,
me, it was romantically. You, it was financially. No.
I'm starting to think it was a mistake to ask him to start. Yeah.
You can call the long laugh lol anyway.
Oh, Fresh, come on, man. This is the thing about DJ Fresh. He's the most lovable person ever. He's like the biggest teddy bear ever. You're so lovable. And you know what? We all of South Africa woke up to the news that you had been fired for using an imaginary, made up word.
Sunnery. Pretty much. Yeah.
That makes no sense. It's ridiculous. It's like expecting your chicken legs to hold up that body.
I mean,
it's surprising that somebody so structurally unsound is the best bet in radio right now. It's the most shocking thing. And last but not least, Gareth Cliff. Thank you for hosting us, brother. I really appreciate it. And most people think Gareth Cliff is an asshole, but he's not. You know, I worked here at Cliff Central. I had the highest rated show above his.
X-rated.
Okay? And he didn't fire me. Even when I brought open beverages into the studio, he didn't fire me. He just like secretly came and gave me free drugs in all my drinks.
He used to be an addict. I forgot.
Many would argue, what do you mean still?
But it's done well.
Yeah. So guys, basically you guys are legends of radio. Many people can't find it in their heads why you guys have moved around so much, and why can't we have all of you on one radio station, because that would be a killer lineup. Is it egos? Is it the price tag? Is it the industry that doesn't want a killer station? And I'd like you guys to talk about that because all of South Africa wants to know.
Well, it was a bad idea to have Trevor Gumbi start this thing, obviously.
Whose idea was this?
It was mine. I apologize. Right. But then I also once put him on the air, and it was the most offensive stuff I've ever heard in my life.
Why is the white guy hosting this?
Yeah, it's a bit of a problem.
It is a problem.
It's like the inverse of government.
When are we decolonizing Cliff Central?
Didn't Timo charge?
No, they tried.
Didn't he try that?
He was the BE partner, right? I'm kidding.
Stellenbosch Mafia.
Oh.
This is Soweto Mafia.
I heard that rumor about you being in bed with the Rupert's. Or was that Stain? I forget. Which one was it?
It's both. I like both? Everything in twos.
Why are you whining, man?
No, because, man, nothing's happening for me, man. It's I don't have this job.
I do.
SABC is playing repeats.
You got friends like these.
No, they're playing repeats. They played your episode last week.
Are you
week.
Still there?
Man.
You got fired as well.
Well, Trevor.
There are so many repeats. Goomba Fire is next. What?
I think.
Remember Goomba Fire?
I think in order to continue this conversation, we can fire Trevor Gumbi.
Trevor, please get
okay,
out of here.
Okay, fine, okay.
So everybody knows the last few years have seen some incredible upheavals in the media landscape. I left, this is now a couple of years ago, then DJ Spoo left, Tebow Touch left.
No, I got fired.
Well, I mean, it's a, you know, this is a debate.
Technically, Touch was also kind of fired.
We can talk about this.
And then he ran away before it was it's got jumpy.
So we can get into the detail in a minute. But, okay. You know, the past couple of weeks have seen another shockwave. DJ Fresh's sudden departure from Metro. For reasons that are not entirely clear there either. Now joining 947. Congratulations, bro. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And Fat Joe on indefinite leave from Radio 2000. Robert Marawa, whose surprise exit from Supersport caught us off guard. And then Trevor Gumbi, as we said, who should have been fired when he started his first radio show, but he wasn't because he was on cliffcentral.com. He tweeted about bringing these guys together for a lineup to beat all lineups. And we thought, you know what, it's time that we all got into a room. And I did invite Joe, by the way. Fat Joe was very much on our minds today, and I saw a lot of tweets and Instagram posts about him. And I did ask Joe to join us. First of all, he's in Cape Town.
Right.
So he needs to be decolonized as well. But I secondly wanted him to join us on Skype, and he said he would try, and he did have you know, some other reservations about saying
so
things.
Joe bitched out, basically.
Well, I don't want to be unfair. He kind of gave me good reasons.
Yeah, but Joe, you bitched out.
Fresh can say that. He's got the right to
These be. Are the guys who you either woke up with in the morning or you spent time with in your car, in your head, even keeping company while you're at work. You probably spend more time with the person on the radio than you do with your own family. In many cases, that's what happens. And it's not surprising that when there's movement, you move from this station to this station, or this happens, or this person gets fired, or this person resigns. It creates upheaval in people's lives, too. So it's not often that we get to sit together. We've all maintained, I think, really good relations. I have huge respect for these guys who are in the studio, and for Joe, and for Robert, who's on his way. And I honestly think that it's time we have a conversation, honestly, about what's going on in broadcasting.
And for the record, for people that have been hounding me about what about the sisters, there's going to be a sisters only session.
Yes.
So we're not excluding the sisters, but there will be a sisters only session.
So what I'd like to do for starters, because each of you have an incredible story. A lot of these stories are inspiring beyond belief. A lot of them are real rags to riches stories too. And maybe people do, maybe people don't know. But I think, you know, to give a little background here, I mean, I remember Spoo telling me a story about how he washed Fresh's car for a while to get his attention.
Not really wash his car, but I mean, I hung around with you. Remember Begazel?
Yeah. Spoo kind of hung. He used to kind of hang around that Y. Beyond, I mean, he do mixes on my show. So, you know, that's how I met Spoo. But Spoo has always been that guy that knows how to hang around strategically. So you see him, but he's not in your face. And I think a lot of kids can learn from that.
Absolutely.
That when you want to get into any industry, don't be in people's faces. Be almost just by the blind spot. So I see you, but I don't see you. You're not a bother, but I know you're there. And that's, you know, that's how you start getting into places.
And persevere, right, Spoo?
Yeah, I think for me, Fresh has been a very good role model for me, because I modeled my career from the beginning around him and a gentleman by the name of Kabzela. May his soul rest in peace. He's no longer around.
Absolutely.
I could relate with Kabzela because I was from the township, right? And he spoke Venek. And he spoke to a lot of our hearts, especially Joby kids from Mekasi, you know? And Fresh was just the guy, because I was a DJ playing on vinyls, cassettes, and I just wanted to be like Fresh. But I think the one thing that set him apart was the giving part of DJ Fresh. He had an education foundation at the time. And Kabzela was doing something similar with a movement called the PYGs, the Positive Youth of Gauteng. Mm. So when I got in, I didn't just want to be that entertainment guy. Mm. So the purpose in what they were doing sort of rubbed onto me, and I've carried that all the way until today.
Well, breakfast radio and mornings in general, and then afternoons are very sort of similar in one way, in that you are in people's car with them. They're not usually in a good mood in traffic. You've got a lot of responsibility to keep them entertained, informed. You kind of are the first port of call to give them context to the world. And all three of you, and certainly Robert too, have been part of what's keeping people sane, I think, in all this craziness. Where does it come from for you, Touch? I mean, where does the whole story start, and kind of where are you now in terms of broadcasting and media?
Can you put my level a bit up?
Sure.
I'm fighting a bad cold. Thank you. I think for me,
you want a tissue?
It has to do with I want to throw my gum away. It has to do with the amazing journey of being born in a church family where you consider yourself a broadcaster. Anytime you're in front of a mic, thank you, Fresh. Anytime you're in front of a mic and you get used to talking to a group of people every Sunday school, you become accustomed to talking to an audience. But when you get into a situation where you hear these people and you imagine them going to school, I remember driving in this taxi to Vanderbilt Park, and I think Fresh was in the afternoon on Y.
The easy drive.
Yeah. And our driver was bragging that he can take us to go see him, and we drove to Bertram's, this house
it was a Radio Freedom building.
Still there. And that's the first time I think I saw Fresh, but you know,
why didn't you come say hi?
Never did I, man. Now it was you know, when you're just shocked, because Kokasi, we brag, I can take you to Fresh now. It's like, nah, yeah, right. And we drove there. I won't forget that day. The first time I also met Bad Boy T. He had long dreads, speaking closer, so he was a bit approachable. Fresh had this polished English that, you know, like, I'm sure Smoog, that's why he related to Kabzela. Because as Kabzela said, hey, was Fresh going to say hi, sir? Well, you don't know how to say it. You know, like, yo, dog, you don't know how to say it, but you know. And then you start falling in love with this. So I can talk to thousands of people, and they can imagine, and exactly what I imagined of Fresh, he was that guy. Big voice, big structure, and he had this car with 24-inch, 24...
The Wrangler, right?
He had many cars,
this guy.
It was a Wrangler with a 5-inch race suspension and balloon tire.
Or was it the Saab? Or was it there because you had a lot of cars?
Yeah, it must have been the Saab. And then and that's when I realized that actually this is a serious career, man. And coming from the Vaal and knowing that YFM is 45 minutes away, I always knew that one day, one will move from broadcasting as a church boy to broadcasting to thousands of people as your boy. And
well, eventually millions. And I did a little calculation. I figured out that between us, including Robert too, we at one point, all of us, were responsible for reaching something like 14 million people. And radio is an interesting thing. We'll talk about that in a moment or two, because radio is going through some changes. There's a lot happening in the world of radio. There's a lot happening in the other forms of audio broadcasting. But I do want to, like, Fresh, tell us just a little bit about how you started, because these two have both admitted that you were a huge role model in it.
Yeah, who inspired you, Fresh?
Yeah, where'd you come from?
Geez, where do I start? For me, I think when I was 13 years old, I was in boarding school, and there were Zambian kids that were at our boarding school. This is in Botswana, in Gabs. And so the one kid's dad worked at the United Nations. Hmm. So whenever he went to the US, he'd record WBLS. Yeah. And he'd bring back these tapes of this radio station. And as fate would have it, I mixed on WBLS about 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And did an interview there. But anyway, that's a story for another day. So I'd listen to this radio that I'd never heard before. And all of a sudden, you know, you had your radio bops. And then when I was 15, Metro FM started broadcasting also. So for me, that's when I started taking an interest in this. And I had a friend, a Norwegian guy, his name is Oscar, like my best friend until we die. He left for Norway when we were 15.
Yeah.
So the way we used to share music is we'd make each other radio tapes.
Huh.
So I'd introduce the songs and tell him this is the brand of Glenn the Fussy and whatever else.
But he was your listener.
So he was my one listener. I started my career with one listener. And he'd do the same. I mean, I remember I was the first kid at our school that had Milli Vanilli, but it also had Oscar's voice on it introducing it. You know what I mean?
So, but there's something almost poetic about having your best friend as a listener.
Yes.
Because it teaches you about that relationship right up front. Huh?
In fact, I'll tell you right now, so fast forward a year after Matric, brand new radio station, I walked in and said, guys, I need a job. And I know I can do better than half of the guys on the radio station. And they auditioned me on a Monday. They told me on a Tuesday that you start on Saturday. And I started my radio career with zero training. Jeez. Like zero training. But because I'd listened to so much radio from I think it was Capital in London, yeah. WBLS, Kiss FM. I listened to so much radio that I knew exactly what I needed to do. So I think the first 5 years of my radio career were done with zero training.
If you listen to a lot of people on radio now, you'd think this that's still happening.
In fact, that I think that's half the problem. Yeah, but anyway, so right. So that was 92 when I started my radio career. Then I relocated here after 2 years of failed law school, like you, Gareth.
Just like me.
End of 94, I moved to Jersey. I studied at Boston Media House. It was a Rao diploma in media studies. Yeah. So I'm like a qualified journalist and copywriter.
Then that's one thing I don't
believe
have.
It or not.
Are you a qualified journalist?
But you've got white privilege. You don't need qualifications.
I think it also helped. It also helped that you went to Boston because they pushed and marketed that school on Fresh's image.
I know.
I think it helped that he became a success.
Do you know that there are kids who want to go to Boston because they think they're going to meet me there?
Like you've never given a lecture though.
I remember your first show. You were with Penny.
No, you know, actually, you got to say this.
Penny?
If it wasn't Ryman for Reason? Zach, you remember there used
Zach
to be
Tequila.
Zach Tequila.
Zach Tequila,
yeah.
Right?
Yes. I got to give Zach a shout out. Zach and I, so I was doing an insert on Zach's show, and then I came home for a month, right? So one of the Saturdays, the first Saturday, he's taking me to go see the studio because I was that guy who calls in on the phone from New York. But at that time, I started doing 1 hour live from New York. So we had the stream going from 2003, I think. So one Saturday I visit home and Zach is asked to do a competing alcohol promotion. And he says there's a funeral at home in his culture. He can't endorse alcohol during the week of a funeral. Now, Ndate Mashiho at that time is an assistant station manager. He says, BS, what culture is that?
Yeah.
And they have an altercation in the car. So I'm listening to Zach telling Leo and Ndate Mashiho, no, you can't force me to do anything against my culture. I'll give you the policy at the SABC, this and this, this. And I could just see it in the air. This guy's gone. Then I get a text. They don't know I'm riding with Zach. I get a text. Say, hey, man, that New York guy is around. He's in town.
Yeah.
Can you go do Zach's show?
That New York guy?
Can you go do Zach's show? But I'm sitting in the car, and we were doing a campaign for Shrek. Remember the movie Shrek just came out? So Zach is sitting here, and I'm sitting as a passenger. They're like, Touch, where are you? I said, I'm in a car. And this is Leo says, are you able to be at SABC Studios in the next 2 hours? It was 4 o'clock Saturday.
Mm.
I said, sure. And I'm like, what? Why? Where's Zach? Zach is not going to do the show. He's fired.
Oh, yeah.
But they didn't tell him he's fired.
Oh.
And I'm riding in a car.
That's how I was fired, Edward.
So
I'm walking in people laugh and they listen to me. I'm like, what's going on here?
No, but I got to tell you this. So I got to ask the guy who just got fired to go drop me off.
So you can
at
do
the
his
studio
show.
So I can do his show. And we at Merrill's Art. So I said, this is a difficult crossroad I've ever been in my life.
Wow.
So I'm like, yo, Zach, listen, I think they're going to let you go. Because I just got off the phone to ask to go do your show. It's like, nah, dog, they're not going to let me go. I'm going to go do my show. So I'm like, okay, let's go to work. Great. We go to work. Luckily, Leo is already there.
Mm-hmm.
And Ndate Mashiho used to have this white, yellow Toyota Corolla, my lord. It's parked outside. And now Zach sees him. I'm like, what are you going to do? He's like, nah, I'm going to tell him. He gets in the studio. Ndate Mashiho says, Touch, come inside. Zach, stay out. Now, I don't know how to control a desk. Flip. There's a guy called Andrew Bopela. Yeah. Andrew Bopela says, that's your mic. That's a guest mic. That's music. So I got to act like I know how to do this. And it's that old
SABC. You're the guy from New York. You better know how to do this.
Yeah. Because this is some old age. You remember that old desk?
It was an old, massive desk.
I think it was the analog desk, right?
Yes.
Proper.
In fact, the only good thing about those old desks were the microphones.
That's it.
Those microphones were geez. But anyway, sorry.
We digress.
No, but you could smell even apartheid on those mics.
When that sponge would fall, I'd only hold it like a tissue.
There was zero hygiene. But let's be honest though, that was the best training academy. So the show went live 6 p.m. We went live at that time, and all mics were on.
Yeah.
To be safe, because I could see there's four mics for guests. I switched on all mics, and they're all listening. Leo's listening to the first link like this. It's like, you did a good job. You did a good job. Just tone down on the screaming. You scream too much. And then may his soul rest in peace from YFM, former music compiler from Takani.
Oh, DJ Monde.
DJ Monde sent me a text. Nice one, boy. Nice one. So I'm like, all right, cool. And Zach, you know.
Shame he's sitting out there without a job.
Yeah, Zach called me. But Zach called me, says, yo, let's quit this thing. I'm like, quit?
I'm just getting started.
I'm like, I don't think I'm going to do that, man. And he had his fight with SABC, and that's how I landed the show.
In fact, may I tell you why I listened to your show, Rhyme and Reason? Is because you did not have a radio background, you broke rules, radio rules, but it was okay.
Even
with your drive show.
Yeah.
I mean, your drive show was not traditional radio.
No.
It broke a lot of radio rules, but it also endeared you to a lot of people because you were that guy. And that's what I've appreciated about your radio.
His knowledge of hip hop as well. Because that's what I'd listen to Rhyme and Reason for.
Yes.
For the new music and just the artists used to have on the show.
You indicated something that I'm interested in because radio is this cutthroat business, right?
Yeah.
And we all know that changes happen.
Yeah.
Sometimes management make these changes. Sometimes the audience demand the changes. And sometimes someone else moves and you have to move. Were they not?
Right. It's a thankless business, actually.
Yeah. And I saw a tweet this week from another DJ who was complaining about, you know, this changes lives and people's lives are ruined when these things happen because not everybody floats to the top and not everybody gets to choose what goes on here. And I mean, I'm looking at three guys here and Robert's another one that you got to choose most of the time. And that can have its price as well, right?
But to be honest, guys, we need to reflect on what happened. I think looking at the state capture now, it's actually giving memories of where things went wrong. So we can understand as far as when we went through some temporary sessions, this decision was made. Hence, there was a reshuffle next week. Hence, there was this. I think we also got to go back because SABC decisions are made and nobody's held accountable. The DJ is the culprit, and
it's an SOE. And if you look at what's happening in all the other SOEs right now, it's politically influenced.
You know,
it doesn't actually. It's not really business all the time.
Yeah. And I think SABC aside, and I don't know if it's in inverted commas a black radio thing, where every March there's this madness. That we must reshuffle, we must hire new people, we must fire people. But more often than not, people are being fired not based on that we gave you deliverables, we gave you all the tools you needed, you didn't deliver, therefore bye-bye.
No.
It's almost like people wake up on a whim, they decide, I don't like Gareth today, he must go. My friend doesn't like Zbu anymore, Zbu must go. Whereas if you say to me, I gave you everything you needed to reach your targets, we paid you well, year on year you have not delivered, or we've tracked your progress for 3 years and we can see it's not making business sense, we're going to have to let you go, then it makes sense because it's a business decision.
You never get that explanation.
We've
all heard stories of guys who go in and they suddenly their card doesn't work or their tag doesn't work and suddenly the studio is locked and they try to get in and they're like, there must be something wrong, but they've been fired and no one even told them.
Yeah.
Before I joined Metro, for me to understand that those decisions can get made, I remember Bertha Charuma.
Yes.
She used to do the 9 to 12.
I remember
Bertha. She had the highest listenership.
Oh, yeah.
But she was still fired.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like,
so, how does this work?
But at the time, I was still at Y. But I think, because you remember, the mentality was, you've got high numbers, you're bringing in a lot of money,
right.
You know, there's a lot of ads on your show. Obviously, you're not going to get fired.
Yeah.
But it happened to Bertha. And then from there, I sort of, when I got into Metro myself, I was actually recruited by Mr. Leslie Ntlogo.
Mm. I remember
at
him
the time.
Too. Yeah. Yeah. He was in charge of commercial radio, right?
Commercial radio.
And by the way, I just want to clear the air here, because I'm sure that someone at the SABC is nervous about that. This is not an SABC bashing session either. I mean, we've all had good times there. We've all had great experiences, many as bad. I never had anything near the interference that people think I had in any of the programming that we did.
In fact, I think for the longest time, I don't know if they thought not many people listened to us, but often nobody interfered at 5.
Yeah, they didn't. They were more interested in what was going on in Metro.
Yes,
in terms of politics, because of course Metro had this huge audience.
Yeah,
and the audience were, they mattered to the politicians.
In fact, we got away with murder most of the time.
This
myself
stuff,
and
this
you.
Stuff you and I
you guys had a lot of fun.
This stuff you and I could never do in radio now.
Yeah,
that we were getting away with then. But funny, you talk about us being there. I remember having a meeting with Fresh when he was at Y, I was at 702, and we met up, knowing that Five had been courting both of us. And we jointly decided we were going to go there, because we saw an audience of, first of all, young people who were, this is the future, right? This is where we wanted to craft something new.
Mm.
And it was fertile ground for us to play and to grow audiences and to do something different. And I remember making that decision, and Fresh and I were laughing about it. And then, you know, when it all started happening, we weren't even sure that it was real half the time. And we were allowed to do stuff.
Yeah, we got away with a lot. I mean, I listened to some of the parodies we did, some of the political commentary, some of the stuff we did. I'm like, how did these politicians not even hear any of this? Allow us to get away with it?
It's so funny. I found out the other day that Cyril Ramaphosa's kids grew up listening to us on Five.
Yeah,
And here he is. He's now the president. Probably just as well he wasn't the president then, or we might have been fired. But this is how it works, right? And someone on the board changes.
Mm.
Someone on the board that you don't even know. I mean, we never even met the board.
Jeez, the fun we had at Y.
Yeah, yes.
Because a lot of the stuff that you guys were doing on Five, it's stuff that had happened on Y. And on Y, the biggest culprits were him and Joe, right? Mm-hmm. And Joe would take on that attitude and also do the same on his television show. So if you look at a lot of people he pissed off, it was crazy at the time, but the freedom that we had on radio, I think for me, that's what sort of rubbed onto me. And I sort of became a rebel on radio. And every time when I'd be on air, I'd always have to get reprimanded, because I'd get my BCCSA letters and emails and listeners complaining from time to time. But it's because of the culture that I'd adopted from YFM. And in a way, I didn't want to be toned down when I got to Metro. I knew that I needed to mature, but I still wanted to be me. And I guess that sort of was the friction.
YFM was a really special, like, laboratory for all of this stuff. There was some fantastic stuff that was done there that couldn't have been done anywhere else. It was experimental. And the guys who had that vision, it was extraordinary for the time.
At the time, I think a lot of people wanted YFM to go national. And I always say, and I've been saying this for the past, 5 to 10 years, I'm like, why is national? Mm. It's actually international, right? Because everybody who was there is everywhere.
Well, isn't it cool that these days, even traditional radio, you can hear online anywhere in the world,
right?
And it kind of binds people together. It's almost like a country all on its own. And this is what's cool. I wanted to ask all of you this with Robert here, but we may as well go ahead.
Mm.
So do you feel, because Fresh, I remember you saying to me once that you will move. You're not loyal to a station in terms of the institution, the company. You're loyal to your listeners. And you will take your listeners with you wherever you go, right?
In fact, I think the one thing I've probably appreciated the most about the past 4-8 weeks of madness is realizing how many loyals I have. You know, people that started listening to me at Y, that went to Five with me, that are saying, if you go to Classic FM, we're there.
Yeah.
Because we are loyal to your brand of radio, not to any radio station. I mean, I did an interview with a Sowetan today, and they're asking me about, you know, Metro versus going to 947, you know, Nationwide versus a Joburg station. And I was telling them, in fact, I could broadcast from a cave. Yeah. My people will find me.
That's right.
It doesn't matter where in the world they are. So I don't even do radio for whatever the market is, because I know that my people know where to find me. And they'll, and by hook or crook, they'll fucking do it.
But isn't it the strength that you were able to build this platform, right?
I was before we even get to that, the other thing that's happened is social media, right? And now you have a direct channel to your audience, which before was controlled by management.
Yes.
I mean, you didn't have a say. Like you were saying, Spoo, about Bertha. She got fired. There was nothing she could do about it in those days. Mm. We are all emancipated in a way because we haven't been able, well, we've been able, they weren't able in those days, to do stuff without management say-so.
Mm.
And I remember I had that early case with the SABC where there was a tweet that I put out and they tried to tell me I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And I said to them, what I do on the air is yours.
Sure.
Everything outside of that is mine. Which was, I don't know if that would hold up now, because they kind of tell people what to do a lot of the time now.
I think now they've worked social media behavior into contracts.
Right.
And I think not just at the SABC, I think just everywhere, generally throughout corporate South Africa.
Well, you could be an accountant.
But you've just signed the contract, so you know a new one.
I haven't signed yet.
Oh, not yet. Advertising.
That's some news.
That's breaking news on Cliff Central. Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to pull down the billboards tomorrow. Fresh is about to take a brand new big offer.
In fact,
Mr. Ravi Naidu, double up the numbers.
In fact, we were, you know, with my lawyer, we were going through, you know, my past 13 years of radio contracts. They actually give us zero rights.
Mm-hmm.
The rights rest more with the broadcaster than they do with you.
What?
Everything is about if you do this, if you don't do that. Mm. But there's nothing about if we don't help you, you know what I mean? And I think we need to actually re-look at why we are signing these flipping contracts in the first place.
Yeah, and the contracts
don't make labor sense.
I wanted to ask you this.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people talking about the reasons that you were fired, and a lot of people think it's this word. I think that's ridiculous. I think sometimes management need to find an excuse because they've made a decision.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you don't have to yes or no on this if it's still something that you are dealing with.
Yeah. I don't like talking about my exes, but we can talk about this. We can talk about this one. Let's go.
Okay, so theory number one.
Yes.
Is that you were too expensive and the SABC needs to save money.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I can tell you why Fresh got fired, because I still get, my intel works 24-7 at this.
Tell us about your mole. Who's your mole? Who's your mole?
No, everybody. Everybody
works.
Who's your
Everybody
works. I got people in HR. I have people in the board. I have people that, Fresh got fired of SABC because he was too shining. He was too big than the management. When you work at Metro FM, the management are the star, and
but
you are their voice.
Nobody knows.
You are their voice.
Nobody in the audience knows who the management is.
And exactly. So what you'll get a text message about a live read that's not on your script, and you got to execute it at that point, or if it's a brand, and you know, sometimes you'll ask, but am I endorsing this brand? And like, no, it's the station's mandate. When you start asking smart questions, you're already lodging to be fired. Simple as that.
Do you want to dispute this?
I know. How can you dispute? I wrote the book of how to get fired.
No, Fat Joe did. And Chili M did.
Fat Joe did. Let's give credit to credit's due. Fat Joe wrote that book.
But people don't know this. People don't. I'm back at Fresh's point. I was asked if I want to leave by the CEO. And he gave me the reasons why. And then Mr. Leslie Nkloko said, no, those, you know, touch, it's an option if you want to stay. It was around February. So I said, hold on, what do you guys mean? You don't want to get rid of me if I want to go? I was like, you tell me if I want to leave or not. I said, hey, Fit, Okawata Majid. These are the type of excuse that make you leave. Not that you're not performing, not that you're not delivering. Okawata Majid,
you're not
big.
Playing ball.
So there are certain things that when I look at new talent that is excited about this new job, and you're like, man, I wish I could tell them the real deal is if you're average, you're going to remain there for long. Yeah. You're going to be loved.
If you're not average, you'll last a short time.
Yeah. Once you stand out, you're already going to be secluded. You're going to start going to meetings that you don't understand. Kwanja, why I'm sitting here?
And all you want to do is deliver a flipping shit hot show.
That's all
I want to do.
All the other stuff you don't care about.
Keep me out of the politics. Yeah. I don't want to be in the politics. No. I don't care which politician is breathing down your neck. Give me the space, the latitude to do.
In fact,
why
that is
I
the only
here.
Job management have to do is keep you away from those.
Protect me from the noise. So but if management become the noise, who else is going to protect you?
So they were looking for an excuse, in other words, like they have with you.
What happened to Masa Chabandlov?
Yeah.
I think let's keep it moving from the SABC.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's get the conversation
all right,
moving.
I mean, do you want to clear it up?
I don't think there's anything to clear. I just think it's unfortunate that it became the storm that it did, because this could have been nipped in the bud week one.
Were you difficult?
In fact, I don't think I was difficult at all. I think I was willing to play ball. But when people want to handle something their way, or it was almost the fit in or fuck off situation.
Right.
And for me, as a matter of principle, I don't work like that. I believe there's always a middle ground. But if you're not willing for us to find each other, I'd rather leave. I wish we had more people with the security to know that they'd get another job. You'd actually have more people walking away from jobs. Just a lot of people sing for that dinner.
Yeah.
And they can't afford to rock the boat because what if I don't get another means of income? So there's a lot of people who literally stay in shitty contracts.
Yeah.
Because I don't want my kids to starve. I don't want to starve. For me, it was a matter of principle. I even said to the family that, listen, guys, I'm gonna hold down the fort. Chances are they're going to fire me, but that's what's going to happen. What happens, happens. We'll see what happens later. Oh, yeah, Robert is in the building.
Robert Marawa. What's up, Rob? Right. How are you, my man?
Yeah. You've got that pyramid smell.
He's just come from Egypt. So
I told you guys, Mahmoud is in the house.
I messaged Robert last week. He was in Egypt still with the football. He came back over here and he said, if I can be there, I'm in. If I'm in the country, I'm in. And you've just finished a show.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming through. You can catch up because everybody's just sharing their dramas of like radio ups and downs. But Fresh was telling
us. Or media ups and downs.
No, I've been listening. I've been listening. But these are all former Metro FM DJs. I'm still a current Metro FM.
That's right.
And Radio 2000 DJ.
He's hung on to it.
I've come back. I've been fired. I've been fired and I've come back. So this is a second. This is a resurrection.
What do you know that we don't?
There's still room for you at the end. Anything is possible. It's as simple as that. And the guys have been perfectly honest about their journeys and their stories. And it's true. All you want to do is do a damn rocking show. Mm-hmm. And I don't care who you are, what you do. The only love of what we do is based on our preparation. Is based on the dedication, the passion, and that's all that radio is. Radio is not something you do by accident. Radio is not something that you do because you look smart or you have a certain following on Instagram and you portray differently because you strategically place your Louis Vuitton bag with supersedes. How you some? Let's not.
You're right.
No, but I'm being serious.
Yeah, some of this stuff is so
the noise.
Yeah. Radio is what I grew up in. Listening to Radio Zulu, listening to Kansas City, listening to Joshua Mlaba back in those days. I was like, wow, this invisible voice. Where does it come from? And there grew the love for radio for me. And as much as I wanted to do television, radio was always that thing that was hovering around. So when Romeo called up and said, dude, you want to do this? I was like, I don't have the experience. I think Touch was overwhelmed by the huge desk. I was like, what am I going to do? Andrew Botobello was like, hey, I'm just here to take calls. You just talk. But it's become something that has become a huge part of my life. And it is serious that the people that are here, all this talent that is here, is completely disrespected.
You think so?
They disrespected, not by the people that listen to them,
yeah,
but the people that
pay them,
so-called,
or don't pay them,
control them.
Yeah. What do you love, Fresh, most about radio? I mean, Robert speaking, it's almost like poetry the way you talk about it. It's real. We all love this, right? We love this. You wouldn't do it if you didn't love it. But what do you love about it?
The one thing that has me loving this platform is how we're able to affect change. And for me, if it's not going to change someone's life, I'm not touching it. Mm. I mean, I always make sure that what I feel is my purpose on this planet, to lead decisions I make, even in media. So for me, that's what I love about this medium. It changes people's lives, literally. You have people say to you, I was listening to you with my dad in the car when I was in primary school. In high school, you took me home. In you know, when I was at university, I listened to you when I was doing my assignments. And now I'm getting married. Thanks for raising me. Those are the stories no other medium will hear.
Yeah.
That's why I love radio. Because we change people's
similar
lives.
Reason. Similar reason. As I told you that I modeled my career around purpose. And I think it's something that has stuck with me in every decision that I make, even in business right now. It has to be inspired by purpose. And radio was able to give me that immediate contact with the people that I either wanted to help.
Mm.
And at some point, I didn't even have a structure or a foundation or money in my pocket, but I'd see myself educating a couple of kids. Why? Because I'd use the medium to put whoever on the line and put whoever on the line and put them on the spot and get them to commit to help this kid where those kids are now graduates, etc. So for me, it's just been that medium that is always able to speak to people right now. But although back then it was a theater of the mind, I think we're one of the lucky few who crossed over before
pre-internet,
pre-social media. Exactly. Where you can just imagine how a radio studio is.
I think it's way harder to be on radio now. But Touch, what do you love?
You know, what Fresh said really hit home. The first time I got suspended, I'm sorry to sound like an angry ex. The first time I got suspended, I had this guy who used to clean outside the SABC. And he said, yo, man, I just want to link to a favorite song. Like, he didn't say the word link. He didn't know what it meant. But he says, can I just dedicate a song? I said, no, come in the studio and link to that song. And the guy started crying.
Yeah.
He started crying. I told him he came in and he linked to the song. And months later, he gave me a call that he's moved to Mpumalanga and he works for a station called, what is it? Not Mhlobo. What's the station in Mpumalanga?
Empower? No?
Kwala
Kwala. Oh,
okay. And he said, the day I gave him that chance to link into a song and that ambiance in the radio station, he took that picture and showed them and he lied to his bosses that he was my intern. But the guy was a cleaner. But he got so well, and I learned that all of us, if we are given a chance, given an opportunity, if we are hungry enough, we are going to outshine anyone who's currently holding that position.
Mm.
Some of us, all we need is an opportunity. The guy moved on from being given a chance to create a link. So the ability to change people's life.
But SABC's been really dirty since, so thanks for that.
No.
You took out one good cleaner.
The one guy.
I'll give it
Robert
to that.
Robert Perot had to wade through trash.
No. Come on, guys. We said we're not going to be going that route with SABC. We're here.
Trash them. It's terrible. I take it back.
SABC played a big role in my life. So I'll always say it gave me that opportunity to change those lives. He's not the only one. You know, we've done crazy stuff. I had a wedding live on air. Two people came. We had a pastor. They did their vows. But the best moment was always when I have to do a transition from my show to Robert. You know, we, like Fred said earlier, we were on radio. It will be a dialogue.
Unrestricted, right?
Yeah. We'll have a dialogue, and he's about to go to sports, and we're having a chat, and you got this guy, Rob Beasy, in between. He's trying to go to traffic because this client paid, and now we're having a conversation about the game that's going to be playing later, and Rob is having a conversation about the song that I played. So we have a sports personality deep into hip-hop, traffic person, bouncing between hip-hop and music and sports, and all of that, when you listen to it, it sounds like it's scripted.
It's magic. It's magic.
That's the best radio,
but it was
right?
Electrified.
100%. And that's the thing. I mean, people don't even know. I heard you guys calling him the New York guy, and that's exactly what he was.
Yes.
I met Touch for the very first time in New York.
Yeah.
In the streets of New York, because this is how this man was hustling. Who's the famous chap that you're with? I'll remember his name just now.
Name 10.
Of 10. But then he was the man.
Yeah.
And we met him. We'd gone to NBA with Les Lindlogger then, and etc.
Yeah, and Hot 97.
Yeah, then he approached us. He was like, hey, Rob, you know, American accent, you know, Touch, you know, does mess around.
Yeah.
So he was there. He approached us, and he was like, no, Leslie, I can make things happen for you. What do you mean? I can get you for your Sunday show, which the late 80s Zondi was doing, I can get you Keith Sweat. I can get you Mary J. Blige to interview. Yeah. All of a sudden, we're looking at each other and saying, who the hell is this guy? Yeah. You know, because, you know, hey, wapapa no mundu, you know, which is what we're saying. Yeah. Colloquially, he's like, yeah, what is he saying? But in the end, the interviews with Keith Sweat happened.
That happened, yes.
The interviews with Mary J. Blige happened on Metro FM. Sure. Why? Because I was his kid. Bright-eyed, but he wanted to have this radio career and reverse that process back to the country.
Sure. Yeah.
And then he got the primetime slot. Sure. And as he was succeeding, boom, nipped in the bud. As Boo was succeeding, whether or not he was taking chances promoting his brand or not in an awards.
You can say more fire, right?
Mention more fire.
I'm not in fact, why don't we have more fire here?
No, we've got sponsors.
To wash down.
Back to Robert's point.
I thought you were going to bring cans of it. Seriously.
No, I didn't want to. I knew you had sponsors.
Not today.
I'm a businessman. It's okay.
Yeah, thank you to Vintug, by the way.
Vintug's happening here. Yeah, so all I'm saying is that Touch, prime of his afternoon drive, zapped.
Yeah.
Smoo, prime of his career at Metro, zapped. Fresh, same story. I was zapped the same way. Bonang was.
Mm-hmm.
And you ask yourself the question, why?
It's like sabotage.
You know, why is it? Who is the broadcast to? Are we just basically saying, oh, okay, there'll be noise. Fresh will trend for the week. But, you know, the dust is going to settle. It's going to be another day.
Mm.
But then it is also our responsibility as the public, because I love the SABC. We all love the SABC because it gave rise to the all individuals that are here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Is that we don't want it to be every time running to government for bailouts, because that opportunity presents itself.
In fact, that should never be happening. I mean, the money Metro and SABC One make alone could carry the building.
Of course, they're alone.
100%.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah. So why are you getting rid of the guy that is bringing in the money? Why are you getting rid of all these guys that are here who are bringing in the money? Because you're not being answerable to people, like, let's say, people who are buying into a pay-per-view or pay-per-listen type of environment. You're saying, okay, we can afford to get rid of them because we can. Why? Because we can quickly run to government so we can get a bailout. And I'm saying that mindset has got to change so that we, as the SABC public broadcaster, has enough talent to generate the money to keep it fluid. Sure. When Peter McLaren was there, he was able to do it.
Great boss there.
Yeah.
He was able to do it. So why don't you go back to that footprint and say it worked then? Why can't it work now?
Yeah.
Well, this is where we can go into radio now and how it's changed. And by radio, I mean broadcasting in general, because we could talk TV as well. There's a lot that's happened in all of our careers that has happened while we're on the, you know, it's like dancing in a moving carpet, because the thing is changing under your feet the whole time. In radio terms, the advent of social media has been a massive change. The disruption of that relationship that management used to control, which we've covered already in terms of the audience, now they can reach you directly.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do things like Spoo's done, like Touch has done, like I've done, where you can disintermediate those other people who aren't actually part of the relationship anyway.
Yeah.
But what other changes are you happy about and unhappy about?
I think I'm unhappy about, sorry Touch.
Go ahead.
I understand that times do change, and I respect that, and I respect new talent, and I respect new ways of hustling and doing things. I don't expect the current generation to work as hard as we did. Mm. They've got technology on their side. They can hustle smarter, right?
Sure.
But I also come from the school of listening to Radio Bob, listening to Kaya Cool, listening to radio from that, listening to the links, not having a bus drive through a link in a song, just those little dynamics, right?
Yes.
And one of the
Radio 101.
Thank you.
That's all.
One of the things I don't like right now is the people who are just hired because they've got a good social media presence.
Mm.
And I don't mean that they will not adapt and do well on air.
Mm.
But I see it even on television, even in acting, that we're not getting a lot of good quality talent on the radio.
When you have actresses say to you, I didn't get a gig because someone with more Instagram followers got the gig, that's sad. And it's clear that she's a bigger talent, she's a better actress, but simply because either she's not active on social media or she doesn't have a million followers, she doesn't get the gig. That's what, in fact, entertainment has become.
You know, Fresh, to your support, so I'm working on this program I think it's in March next year. I'm bringing Regina King. She's one of the most talented actresses in Hollywood, and she did this cartoon Boondocks, if you've seen Boondocks.
Yes, yes.
She plays the role of both what's his name, Riley. Yes. And one of the conversations we had, because at that time when we spoke, it was earlier this year, she had under 1 million followers, right? And she mentioned about one of the movies that she was working on, that this actress who's younger, newer in Hollywood, got twice the money than she did because it was going to boost ticket sales for her to promote that movie. And I said, that's happening here too. She's like, yeah, that's killing the industry. And when I looked at her following at that time, she was way under 1 million. Then obviously she won an Oscar and she just crossed 1 million following on Instagram. But that is, for me, the biggest distortion in the space of arts, because your ability to sell tickets via your social capital equates to how talented you are
Don't you think it's also, it's not exactly commensurate? Like, you could have millions of followers. It doesn't mean they're going to go and
investigate how did Garrett get that following.
But it's a relationship, right?
If it's not real,
I mean, if you just got the numbers, that doesn't necessarily mean.
But how did you get the numbers? If you got the numbers because of your talent, I respect you.
Yeah, sure.
But if you got your numbers because of different things that has nothing to do with your talent, then we cannot put value in your talent, because if you were just to display your talent alone, probably we wouldn't follow you.
Yeah,
most people who get a following, we know whatever reasons they get it. But I feel,
hey, it's the deep quotes that go with those other pictures. What do you mean?
No,
the tricking.
It's the deep quotes.
Hashtag only God can stop me.
Yeah. Hashtag look at God.
I'm blessed.
But we also responsible. We are also responsible for something, gentlemen. We are also responsible, where we are caught between what we used to be and what we experienced in the past, and we also have to pioneer what's tomorrow. Because if we don't take that responsibility to help policymakers, I'm doing something amazing with government. I'm starting to realize I'm done blaming people for not making the right decision. I'm going to play in the space, get close as I can to advise, because the young guys who are coming after Touch, I cannot give them a testimony of how good I was at SABC.
No, sure.
I need to tell them, this is what I did out of frustration.
Legacy.
And this it became painful, excruciating, but we had to pave the way. And we must be at peace with the fact that we are not going to be there to reap. But guys, we have to sow.
But how do we bring sanity, though, Touch, in terms of what you guys were describing before I got here, as far as black radio is concerned? Because then there lies the problem, is that if black radio is full of the hatred that is seen to be there, you know, Fresh would not be getting a gig a couple of weeks after he was chucked out. I mean, I sent him a message saying, you know, somebody's getting rid of you because of a word that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Because, think about it, the word doesn't exist. It's a derivative.
It's implied.
A word.
It's
a derivative. It doesn't exist.
It was not the word that Fresh got.
I know.
I got to tell you, here's the power of the man. It is now a word. People are using it everywhere.
No, it's got T-shirts. It's welcoming him to Namibia. So the bottom line, the bottom line of all
everybody
of this.
Everybody in the audience, say "Sunery" really loud.
Sunery.
Let me put them
so
on.
It exists now.
Yeah.
You're gonna put that on the microphone.
Try that again. Go. 1, 2, 3.
Wow. Sunery.
No,
how did you say Sunery or Suner?
Don't twang the ring. Don't twang it, because then it takes the, you see.
And the Zuma will be doing his thing. Zuma must fall. Zuma must. So you know what? A repeat of all of that. But that's what I'm trying to say, guys, is that when you talk about legacy again, Touch, is how then do we wipe clean that slate? That says it can't just be based on people who believe they have power and can sit around at a pub and say, oh, yeah, I got rid of Fresh. Yeah, I got rid of Touch.
It's starting to happen. There are two forces that are beyond the control of anyone who thinks they're powerful. And the first one is the market.
Yeah.
Right? The free market decides. Like 947 aren't getting Fresh on board because they like the color of his shirt today, or they know he's going to bring the results. So the market
quality
talks,
of radio.
Right? And all of us, even if that particular management person or that politician or whatever it might be that interferes, you've got value because you bring the audience, etc. But the other thing is technology. And those two things, no one can stop.
I'm excited that there are still traditional media platforms that are not under the SOE you know, management, so that it gives people options to experience different types of leadership.
Even private companies are their own little SOEs in some ways. And these private companies, a lot of them have, you know, different approaches. They have different reasons for different assets.
They have their own politics.
It's not all clear. Yeah, they have.
I think there are politics everywhere. What is important and where I wanted to go is we have to have a broader spectrum. The same has to happen even with networks. We can't be confided to three big cell phone networks. We can't just be confided to two, three
You and I went to Parliament.
For
data must fall.
100%.
And people are still talking about that.
100%. And if you only have few institutions with millions of talented people, some of us are too big to be conformed to a certain way of doing things. So the more options out there, I think we're going to see a growth in the arts. We cannot always benchmark national radio with the likes of Radio 2000, Metro, or RSG. We got to have private-owned national radio stations on traditional or, you know, bigger options online. And that's the power of what online and digital has created, to say, all right, you're going to chuck me out, I'm going to show you that, you know what, the personality in me is not made by the platform. Some of us made the platform.
And audiences like options. I mean, that's what's
true.
In fact, I think to a certain extent, there's almost a protectionism still. I mean, when you look at, for instance, a station like Radio Bob, I can almost tell you confidently that Radio Bob was not allowed to survive post-1994 because there was going to be a problem for Metro. Radio Bob was a beast.
I remember Bob Mabena on that chat. I used to listen to it. I'd listen to
Glenn Lewis on Breakfast and Bob on the Afternoon Drive show. Right. Radio Bob was a beast. But there's almost a protectionism that we can't let the broadcaster be cannibalized. But why not? Why can't you give people options? Because if you're giving great quality broadcasts, you're not going to lose your listeners. But if you're feffing around, you are. Let people have licenses to broadcast. Why can't there be another 10 radio stations that are nationwide?
But it is part of the reason that radio audiences are in decline everywhere.
Yes.
I mean, this is a reality.
But people have options now.
Yeah. And just like watching TV is in decline. I mean,
but you're killing radio, though, Gareth. What is traditionally supposed to be radio? Why are there people that nobody talks about, but they've been on radio for the longest time? So why aren't you making why aren't you making an impact? Because if they're not talking about you, and I don't understand the whole obsession about BCCSA, that okay, you're going to get cited for BCCSA, therefore you fall into trouble as a result of that. On the flip side, Jeremy Mansfield, as you get told almost every time, per month, 22 sightings at BCCSA.
I might have the record still.
Yeah, I know you might have had the record.
No, you probably do have the record. Yeah.
But people love that because you are making an impact. So why be on air
if you're going to be
just
average?
Just to breathe fresh air.
But like Fresh said, a lot of people need to feed their kids.
It's not about that. But what invested interest, though, Garrett, do we have in terms of making radio the radio that we knew? Why are we talking about Bob Radio and Metro then when there was just one DJ? It was one DJ, one microphone, and they were making magic. It wasn't a whole team of people.
Now you have a whole team and you're still making mediocre radio.
Yeah. Exactly. So, but you're paying each and every one of those individuals, plus production, plus deputy president, production, whatever. But you're still making mediocre radio.
In fact, I was giving a radio talk the other day, and I was talking about the fact that, you know, when I started on radio in 1992, there was no internet. So you were forced to be creative. You were forced to make everything out of nothing. But on top of that, when I started at YFM, I was doing the Afternoon Drive show. I produced everything. I researched everything. I ran the desk. I did the mixes. The drop-ins, I would sit with the engineer and told him what I wanted.
And presented.
The Easy Drive was a one-man show.
It
worked.
That's how we learned radio. But I guess even with where the times are right now, I don't think us as broadcasters, we should look at it as radio.
because the audiences don't anymore. As you're saying, the audiences are declining on both all of the mediums. Mm. And but for me, I said something when you were training and everyone was talking. I was like, I love what's going on right now, because what's going on right now is giving everybody an opportunity. I mean, I was looking at what Cecil has just done with Thokozane with Newsroom Africa. Yes, right. That's a great opportunity. Absolutely. There for another media player that is unbiased, right? That's neutral, and that's exactly what is happening on radio right now. But what we are building Massive Metro to be, like our platform, is a content creation hub. Mm-hmm. Like what you've done with
content is king.
Content is king, yes. Right? Because it's not only just the ear anymore. It's an entire spectrum, as you did, 360, the podcast, you know, the visual aspect of it. I mean, look at your state of the art cameras. When he speaks, they turn around. I mean, that's amazing. And packaged into me being your audience, I can listen to it, I can have appointment listening, or I can download it later. Well, and that's where the industry is moving to.
When I had the idea to do this along with Rena, we weren't sure about the timing, because you never are, right? You don't know what the timing is. Mm. I mean,
and I think you bled for quite some time, eh?
Well, look, it wasn't easy, but then it never is if you're doing something worthwhile, right? Because you've got to change habits. And this is what radio also taught all of us to do, because you change people's habits. Mm. Like, Fresh's people are now going to be listening to him in the afternoon, and that's going to change their whole routine. Millions of people are going to find themselves doing a different thing now.
And that's one thing I always say to radio kids. Don't take it for granted how loyal your loyals are. Mm-hmm. I had a guy the other day say to me that he would take a bullet for me.
Sure.
He's upset. And those are little things we take for granted, that we have loyal people out there that would literally take a bullet for us. That you know, they will.
Well, I mean, when I started here, that they said no one's going to follow you, because why would they pay for something they could get for free?
Yeah.
They used to get for free.
Right.
And
now they got a bang.
Imagine people saying that about subscription television, especially sports television.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened with me. When I moved across to SuperSport, everyone was like, yeah, but doesn't make sense. You've been doing Soccer Zone and millions of people have been watching you do the show. And yeah, the subscription is so low, it doesn't make any sense. And so, like, okay, great. I'm all for challenges. Like, for me, as long as there's oxygen and life, my friend, we've got a gig that's going to happen, and we're going to turn the tables around. We went that side. Guess what happened? We had a Monday night show. Extra time. Had more viewers on that pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Than what is happening on the free-to-air.
If
the product is good, yeah. And that is what Fresh is talking about. When people are saying that I'm willing to take a bullet for you, people say I'm going to buy a dish. Because you're now moving across. Mm. Whatever that dish is, whether it's the lower package, higher package, I'm going to get into this thing called DSTV for the first time, because I am following wherever you're going, whatever you were dishing up for us there. If that's going to continue where you're going, we are with you. And people went and bought.
This is now the receiver for all of it.
Absolutely.
100%. Radio, for television, for movies, for series, for whatever you're looking for, right? It's all on here now. This is what people are looking for.
Key boils down to one thing in all of what you said, all of you, and I'm listening. Putting enough work and planning, preparation. Marawa used to arrive for a 6 o'clock show at 5, an hour before. But that hour, he was somewhere else where people can still see that this man is preoccupied on this show.
Listen, there were times where I didn't know. He was so busy. I didn't even know how there were the 3, 4, 5 Robert Marawas, because it was impossible. He was on television at the same time as on radio.
I'm trying to tell you. I did a show on Friday night between 7 and 10, but between 9 and 10, I'll be on TV live. But what happened on radio between 9 and 10, we were pre-recording all those links. So the same thing, people don't follow you because of your name. People follow you because they appreciate the fact that you put a lot of work into your craft. When somebody opens a mic, it's not because he's favored over the other. People just say, but this one is Cloudy's boy.
Yep.
I prepared for my show. I will start planning my show wherever. There's not a single country I've traveled, and I will not arrange studios and pay for them myself. I do it. Till now.
They stopped you from playing gospel music on a Monday.
On a Monday.
And yet that was the most popular thing ever. So why was your creative juices stopped? Because you were bringing the unconventional
radio
on a Monday.
Research will tell you right now that of all the top 10 things people want
on air, gospel is either second or third.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Always.
In our market.
So the reason why these names, there's a drought on radio, or people still say, oh, I like what you did 5 years ago. People will follow us because of the amount of work we put into our show. We don't just wake up and get to a studio and just start talking.
Yeah.
I can arrive 5 minutes late for my show, but I've been planning it for 2 hours. Mm. I've been talking to my producer back and forth. We've been arguing about what I'm going to talk about. So when you switch on that mic, people think he just arrived now. You've been thinking, you've been planning. What I'm doing now, I've been planning it for the past 12 months. I went into creating Touch HD and I realized that, you know what, live streaming online, I don't think is the way to go. How do we remodel? Go and invest into visual motion picture. And now you're getting the best guys who can do videos, you get the guys who can do directing. But if the product is not well researched and you're not putting work into it, you'll think, oh, people are following me, they're going to follow me because my name is Fresh. No, Fresh is already planning his show today.
Yeah.
I'm sure Fresh is already planning for his first show today. And that's why people don't understand. I've seen some of you guys, how you put your work, how passionate you are, to a point where you fight with your own producers, because I did it too. Beverly and Robert will literally fight, and I'm saying she's not coming to work tomorrow.
Yeah, but that's for me is the turning point, Touch, and I'm glad you mentioned it, because it's about the hard work, Gareth. The one thing people who want to talk these easy social media topics and hashtags of open up the media, etc.
What's trending now?
You know, do not understand.
Yeah.
That nobody here had somebody who opened up the media for them. Mm-hmm. Everybody had to follow their passion and their hard work and their dedication. It's about those late nights. So when somebody switches on and talks about the Republicans and the Democrats and what is happening, you know, who's Boris Johnson, half the people that are on radio would have no idea who Boris Johnson is. They'll probably think that it's Boris Becker used to play tennis. So the bottom line is the amount of work that you put in is why the people, again, to quote from Tato, are willing to take the bullet for you. Because they appreciate the hard work. They hear the hard work. Mm. They feel the hard work when they're driving in their cars, when they're listening, and they're saying, you know what, I've been parked outside my house now for the past hour. My wife is getting worried. Mm. Maybe I'm jollying with somebody because I can't get out the car. Mm. I am so fixated with what you guys are saying on air that it is the most wonderful thing. Please let the show carry on. And that, for me, is the thing. The biggest differentiator is people want shortcuts.
Yes.
People want a shortcut to where Touch is in terms of popularity, to where Smoo is in popularity, in terms of where Fresh is in popularity, in terms of where you've been, Gareth, and where you still are now. But you put in the hard work. But nobody, even at 7:02, when you had just 1 hour to make a difference and you were as controversial as hell. You made the radio.
60 minutes of radio at 7:02.
I still remember clips that you did of, you know, imitating a Danny Jordan or imitating all sorts of crazy people. But you put in the hard work, and that is what people don't understand. You don't beautify yourself, or you don't worry about the external. No one cares about that on radio. Work hard, and you will see the faith in the people.
In fact,
but I want to ask a quick question, guys.
Yeah.
Please, because I'm raising two boys, and I like how they consume media today. There's talent, and there's new way of how media is being consumed, right? What do we then do if we say this is how radio should be, but there's this new generation of people who say, we like trap music. We don't like lyrics in hip-hop. We like trap. Do we change our delivery to trap? Do we change, you know, your clock when they used to teach us the quarter hour maintenance?
Yeah, how much pressure? That's a really good question, especially for you, Fresh, because you've gone from so many different platforms.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt us.
That's all right.
But like, you've gone from, you know, Y, which had its own feel.
Sure.
And you kind of, in those days, you probably would have fitted in with Y's feel. But you've developed your own now. Do you feel pressured to change? Like, you'll do a gig maybe and you'll see 20-year-olds. And
in fact, it's weird. The other day I was playing at an under-18s party. And I do a lot of those purely for research purposes.
I just want to point out, Spoo's given up and is going for the chicken.
It can't be a decoration.
And the weird thing at this under-18 party I was doing is a friend of mine from high school was dropping a 16-year-old.
Uh-oh.
And we were laughing about the fact that they thought when I wanted to be a DJ in high school, they thought it was a passing phase. And we were just laughing about that. And for me, it's because I live, eat, and breathe radio and understand that you need to adapt all the time.
Right.
I could do youth radio until I'm 100. Because I know the market. If you know your audience, you cannot not deliver to whomever you're speaking to.
I like that.
Yeah. The minute you know who you're talking to, you can't go wrong.
It's a done deal.
And it does help as well when you're a talent that is traveling almost every weekend.
Right.
Because you're seeing with the audience. You're in the audience, yeah. I always thought that was really important, like to get out there and do this stuff. I never really thought I was a DJ, like fresh as a DJ, you know. But it was important for me to meet the audience that I was talking to and to hear from them, because they always hear from you.
Yes.
But you need to hear from them.
It's so true. It helps. Let me just come in here quickly. One of my amazing radio moments I've had in my career was when a guy called Kabelo Tibedi walked into the Department of Home Affairs with a toy gun.
Wanting an ID.
Because it was cut for.
I stayed in the car. I was late for a meeting because Boo was on the radio.
I was the negotiator.
Yes.
At the time, we didn't know that the gun was a toy gun.
Yeah.
I literally thought somebody's going to die or somebody's going to get shot. So radio played that moment where I had to play the negotiator. I'm not trained, but I played that part so well that I calmed the situation down. And then later on in the news on television, we found out it was actually a toy gun. But that's the importance of radio.
Wow.
That's how much it touches people. And it's immediate.
But it also boils down to, this was a Kasi kid who was frustrated by the system that went to Home Affairs with a toy gun.
And he actually called me.
Hence I'm saying that it goes back to what I'm saying, that if you know your audience, you know which buttons to push and not to push.
Yeah.
For instance, if someone else, if, you know, God bless his soul, if John Robbie, for instance, was speaking to that kid, the outcome might have been different.
So well, yeah.
Because relatability is everything in what we do.
Yeah.
If I can't relate to your story or what you're telling me, I'm not going to buy into it.
So there are a bunch of people who've sent some questions. You want some questions?
Yeah, whatever, talk. We're here.
Holofelo says, much love. I would like my unborn grandkids and future generations to read about you in their history books. I mean, what would you like someone to say about the media business and your career in the history books?
Rob?
Yeah, what would
we'll start to the left.
I mean, how convenient, Fresh.
Do you ever think about that? Because we've all seen
we've
seen people come and go, too. Yeah. I mean, we've seen people who we used to look up to and we used to revere. And then, you know, they die, they fade out, they end up going out to pasture in some station no one's ever heard of.
Why is Bra Cancers not in some, why is there no statue of him outside the SABC in KZN? He was a radio god.
Or just the street outside the SABC in Durban named after him.
My isiZulu ain't shit. I listened to Bra Cancers
because
of the radio he did.
Yeah,
100%.
I mean, you mentioned Eddie Zondi just now.
Yeah,
you know,
it's exactly all of that. Fresh has a great point. Is that why are we doing these things? Because I can't sit here and worry about what my legacy is going to be in terms of the history books. I don't know. There might not even be history books. They'll just be whatever it's going to be. But we cannot not look at guys like Cyril Kansas City Bongani Mkhunu. You talk about decline in radio. There's no decline in so-called Radio Zulu, Ukhozi FM. They've been on 6-7 million
at one stage. From day one, they were the biggest station in the world.
Yeah,
you know.
So there's no decline. So they're doing something right.
I think they still are.
They're still number one. They definitely are number one. But you know, for me, the history lies
the heritage
and how we try to preserve it so that it doesn't become that the so-called bosses want it to become.
I have a
we governed by the people that listen.
Can I just say something here? You see, there's people like Trevor Shabalala, and I remember Evidence Camp
Treasure.
Yeah, what we talking about, especially I'll make Fresh for example, you expecting a coffee mug to fill up or recognize an ocean. You expecting a bathtub to fill up a dam. The people who we are under their leadership, we were too big, even from a point of character, we were too big to even expect them to acknowledge or recognize us because they don't have it in themselves to recognize themselves. We look for accolades or recognition from people who have personal deep issues that our talent can never change. I was in a situation where I needed to be appreciated from somebody who didn't even appreciate themselves. And I had to learn that you don't benchmark what love is or appreciation because of who you're dealing with. So,
but enough about touches relationships.
No, we're not gonna have those statues. We're not gonna have those because the people who are supposed to make that decision and talk about having tribute for Tusom Taung or having tribute for some of the greatest legends ever, they themselves in their space, those people maybe grew up not getting enough hugs in their childhood.
Right.
There are people who are in leadership position that are dealing with child molestation, deep-rooted issues, and you want to stand there and say, do you recognize me? Those people are dealing, they got problems.
They're in survival.
But what I will tell you, stuff that Boo did on radio, Fresh did it on radio, and Marawa, that Gareth, you did, and myself, there are people whose souls changed today. There are some hopes that got reignited. There are certain things that we don't know, and maybe we're never gonna meet the people that we make those impact. And that's what matters for me. If I change that one person to transform his space and transform his surroundings, I did my job in radio. Whether I leave my last day after 13 years with a suitcase or my backpack that I came in the building with, and I walk out like the nobody, I know the impact was not in the building, but I made the impact outside.
In life.
Where I should matters. Drop a mic on that. Matters the most.
Yeah. Mfundo says, if not media, what would you do? What would your other job be?
I'd be dead.
You'd be dead?
I'd rather be in a coffin than not do what I do.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
A coffin with surround speakers.
The sound better be fucking good.
Spuda?
I think I'd be successful anyways. I'd be an entrepreneur.
I think I grew up as an entrepreneur.
I was not aware. It's only now as you get older and you mature that you can see that you actually are an entrepreneur. I think I would be successful in whichever way, in another industry somehow, because I'm able to adapt. I think all black people are like that. Black people have been through struggles, and we've always survived our struggles. Wherever you can put us, no matter how difficult it can be.
Touch?
I think I'm one of those, yeah.
I'll be making a good lager because I make good alcohol. But I think what Fresh said is so important. I miss days, Marawa and I at some point, were the only guys who never invoice because we forgot.
Yeah. One day
I was told that you and Marawa, you're not gonna. I'm like, why are you telling me Marawa salary? Because there was a point we didn't even invoice up to 400K. We forgot to claim 400K. And people go and negotiate salary raise. We didn't invoice. We didn't know. We forgot. It's like, how do you forget to go and submit your invoice? And now SABC is complaining because they say they're not going to pay you. It's coming up to half a bar. And you're like, okay, I'll go on the next month because when I switch on that mic, that's the biggest transaction. That to me fulfills me. But the truth of the matter is I will do this. I will do what I'm doing now. I'm in motion picture. I'm making great movies. I'm making great TV content. We're transforming THD into an amazing platform for video. So, Sbu, you're right. We'll always evolve. You're always on to the next.
Yeah, Robert, if you weren't doing what you're doing?
Well, I mean, there's Marawa TV that's just recently launched.
And deserves a home.
Congrats, yeah.
That's right.
Congrats. Yeah, no, but you know, for me, the highlight's not even about looking at what Self has done. I kind of got into trouble for doing this because maybe I was not supposed to be doing it. I do a sports show, and I sat and I watched the Metro Awards, and I was like, okay, this guy by the name of Wilson Bingosi has been on radio for 30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there something that's going to happen at these awards to
honor him?
To honor him. And no, he was there handing out an award. Cool, no problem. Is he going to get honored? Awards came and gone. Nothing. So put out a whole plan. Remember, I'm just a sports show. So I got to try now and rejig how I use my platform to honor Wilson Bingosi. Because in my mind, like Touch is saying, it's not about the money. We went, 9 months or something without invoicing. But the bottom line was that it wasn't about the money. It's about the love. And I grew up listening to Wilson Bingosi. And I went and created a whole trophy in honor of him. Did the whole birthday cake with the radio on it to honor Wilson Bingosi. trapped him to come to, I don't know what I said, was waiting for him at SABC at 5:45. But he came through because he kind of trusted me in terms of that. And I said, no, just come into the studio quickly. And we had I'd penned down a whole playlist of music that he has played. And I had recorded a whole lot of people who have had meaning in his life, including Nkosi Radebe, who was the first person that hired him to be at
Radio Metro. I sent Nkosi Radebe a demo. You never got back to me. Anyway, carry
on. But look
on.
At you. You know, so, you know, it was about that. You know, for me, radio is about the learnings that we have had and the power that it's had. And you cannot not honor Wilson Binkosi when he's been in one station. You know, we're not talking about, you know, Fresh who goes to Y and to 5 FM and gets, you know, fired after a couple of months at Metro. So
Too soon.
You know, I'm talking about somebody whose life and lifetime and whose poetry in motion is still in motion in 2019.
And he did, and he brought the numbers.
And he brought
the
100%. Yes. And let's not move away from... So for me, you know, I can walk away from radio any day, but as little as... That was, it would have been a fireable offense. I'm sure it was, you know, but I kind of got the support from top management to say, this is what I'm like, okay, fine. But I called them at 5:45 because, hey, you know, you can't change what's going to happen already.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, so I'm happy. Whatever happens now going forward, I'm a lover of radio, but I think the person who deserved the biggest accolade in Wilson Binkosi got the biggest accolade, and having played a part in that, that's I can beautiful. Drink all this Vintok, that's yeah.
Well, gentlemen, I think we've been at it enough. I mean, I could listen to you guys all day. I think there are lots of people who would say the same. You want to go all day? You got a show to start next week.
You're still unemployed.
Let's just talk about what everybody's up to. Yeah. Fresh, there's been a lot of really interesting publicity around your move. I'm sure you're excited. I'm sure they're excited.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a new chapter, some new things. You got anything to say about that?
Let me tell you what said to me, you've made the right decision, when the CEO called me 2 days ago and said, we're not saying be offensive, but I want you to go to town. Do what you believe radio should be in 2019. I've never had a CEO say that to me.
No.
Not
the
once.
The CEO of what called you?
Of Prime Media.
Oh, okay.
And you see, that is the support you need to know you have as talent, that we trust you enough not to interfere in what you are doing. Why is it that when it's working, you want to try and fix it? I mean, we bust our balls for 2 years building a breakfast show. What happened in March? Oh, we must change it. Hmm. What mad? That's like that. In fact, that is fucked up. I'll say it right now. That's fucked up. That it's working. The numbers show. The numbers are up there. I mean, dude, we're talking to 1 million people every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you want to fix it. It's not broken. Mm. What are you doing? Who hired you? Who are you? Didn't make sense to me.
Spuda, you're busy with Massive Metro.
Yeah, we are also consolidating it into a media company.
Right.
I think having studied companies like, you know, Media 24, Prime Media, and just where broadcasting and multimedia is going, you know, we're doing that with our platform. I think it's going to be one of the biggest in the continent over the next decade or so. It's a long road ahead, but I think it's beautiful. And talking about what I'm doing, I think from a bigger picture, and gentlemen in this room with the sisters that you're still going to host coming up, it is very important to move on to ownership. And I tell you why, especially with the type of gentlemen that are here. And I don't have any doubt that they can still do, or they probably have their plans behind the scenes. I don't know. But it's very, very important, because what happened to us is not going to happen to our kids. And black people will forever keep growing in this country, especially the people that are the majority that we speak to, and everybody else. But what I want to say is, let's fix the future instead of always having to be
lamenting the past.
Yeah, having to have our destiny in other people's hands, right? So I'd like to encourage everybody else to think that way, because right now we can. Because I mean, I was even looking at my drinks business. it took off because there was just this new monster thing called social media that nobody could understand. Even big brands like my competitors,
like
we took advantage of, yeah, like that monster. We took advantage of social media and it grew a brand, which is still growing out there in the street. So the power of technology gives all of us in this room and everybody else that's listening an opportunity to get into ownership. You don't even have to have a lot of money. I didn't even spend a single cent when I started Massive Metro. I use my own brand and leverage and in believing in myself to convince people to buy into me and partner with me and get equity into my idea. And we just turned 3 today.
Beautiful. And Congratulations.
Well, actually, on the 1st of May, yeah.
Right.
So congratulations. I'm saying now we have 3.
And I ask the question all the time, why can't we make African billionaires when we've made European billionaires for so many years?
Right.
Well, like, what's stopping us from supporting our own?
Because we don't support. Totally. Again, I think it's exactly, I mean, Touch, your experiences in the U.S. Would testify this. There's a major difference. Maybe it's also just a mindset thing. You have Ebony Magazine, which for many, many years has been able to highlight the successes of black people and black achievers, where if there's the first black female who's been to space, they are able to highlight and celebrate them without a problem. So if Michael Jordan were to pass away, Michael Jordan will know that he'll rest in peace because they've already done a tribute special to him. If they had to do a tribute for Scottie Pippen, they know that that's already sorted and done. If a Richard Pryor, whatever the case might be, they know.
They received the accolades. Yeah. At least they got the recognition. They got
the recognition. Yeah. They've had the dinners and the evenings that have said, whoever, NAACP, for example, would be the great honors of black achievement. BET would honor all of those people. Just to say thank you. What does it take to say thank you to a person? It takes nothing. Make them feel good. Make them feel special for that moment, for that night. And then we can all pack our bags and go. But you've done your bit. Muhammad Ali passed away at the time that he did. He didn't have to worry because America had taken care of honoring him multiple times over because, he was the greatest. But we have a problem in this country to declare a Sbu as being great or a Fresh as being great or a Touch as being great because, I can fire you.
And the biggest irony is it's the people that most shaped our popular culture that die the poorest. Yeah, how does that make sense? Does that make sense?
Sickening.
We shouldn't let that happen in our time. I refuse. It shouldn't happen. I.
But why not? How do we stop
it? You know how it starts, Marwa? You posted a video in Egypt. I was sleeping. Somebody said, check your Twitter. Marwa just gave you a shout out. You were walking past this truck and you took a video of this truck with the big number 48.
Yeah.
And you said, Touch, is the shipment of 48 now coming into Egypt? and that moment, you are in the middle of Cairo. But you see a number and you see that as an opportunity to acknowledge what your brother is doing. Big or small, you acknowledge what your brother is doing. Now, that video, we know what it did. It breaks down the perception that Touch will never support Fresh.
Or that we're all jealous of each other. Garrett. I get this all the time. People think that Spoo's jealous of Touch and Fresh is jealous of me. I'm jealous of Robert.
We wouldn't be sitting around this table. Let me tell you something. Gareth, you planted a seed. You might think this was a conversation. You have planted a seed in breaking down walls of unnecessary tension that exist between ordinary people.
Mm-hmm.
Because if people of our caliber can sit around here,
everybody can.
And we're comfortable. I believe everybody can because it's in the name of perfecting.
Everybody should.
At some point, we wanted to buy YFM. Remember after we left? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't see any reason why that still can't happen, and not necessarily buying YFM. I really would love to work with you, gentlemen. I would love for all of us to be in one business.
I think there's a deal going down right now
because we've got a.
Let me ask you something. The five of us, including some highly esteemed ladies
sisters,
who will still come on board. We can walk tomorrow into PIC.
Any agency.
Hold on a second. Into PIC or Treasury, and say. The 3.2 billion that you pay to bail institutions, give us half of it. In 24 months, not only will we pay you back, but with the experience and the mistakes we've made, we'll be able to develop skills, create jobs, and pay you back.
Nice. And have academies of how to bring up
broadcasters in terms of that. I don't know if we want the taxpayer to fund us. We must do this on its
on our own. I really think we can. I really do think
let's
we can.
Do, if you're doing good business, it'll...
Yeah, you know. I really do think we can.
But I hear you. I mean, you're right about the fact that there's opportunity. But I want to hear, before we close off, just what you're up to and what you want what you want to tell people.
100%. So tomorrow I'm at the Houghton Hotel. I have an incredible group of young people that come out of GFC. GFC has been sitting with over 800 CVs a year. These are qualified after graduates, guys who come out of great film institutions, and they end up working in news desk of SABC or other companies. But you have a skill to shoot a Black Panther. So I sat there and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. We need to find a way to create an incubation platform where these guys don't end up being in the wrong places. So we're launching THD 24 tomorrow. It'll still have podcast platform as the first offering of Touch HD, but we're going to have a lot of local content that we've shot. Mm. So I took a detour and I started learning more about local TV when I joined Soweto TV. So by the way, I never made the announcement. I was asked to be a member of the board. So I just joined Soweto TV just to understand, because local content is incredible. And we think local content is what we see on SABC 1, but Mzansi has actually showed us that there is big appetite for great local stories. So that's what we're creating, and I'll be working with Unpolished Diamonds in creating content. And the more catalog we have of local amazing content, I think the more we're going to help for people to feel good about themselves, because they can now be portrayed as not just as Abos Tumo, who I thought he owned Scooties Nice and Chicken Licken and died poor.
Oh, by the way, he was smart, that gentleman, in case you didn't know. I had an interview with him before
he was smart on. But he died very poor.
I don't know that, but I do know that a lot of the decisions that he made when he was even with the Dorsey Ice Mint ads, even with the Chicken Licken ads, he had royalties, and he was one of the smartest. He actually owned and he had royalties as a writer. And even though he didn't own it, the Scoot is Nice, he was getting good royalties out of it. So he was one of the smartest guys way before time.
But under the SABC, you wouldn't have the type of deal where, you know, a portion of what you bring in comes to you. I mean, otherwise, you know,
we'd all have
Fresh would have landed on it.
In fact, why don't you have revenue share options or contracts that say that? Because you know the value you bring.
Says the guy who could still, because you said you hadn't signed yet, so you go and renegotiate.
That was my contract. That was my contract.
What makes you think it's not in the contract?
It definitely is. With Fresh, definitely is.
Shareholding.
I had that contract when I went back to Y from Ukos.
Yes.
Not only add revenue, I said if I increase the listenership per that percentage, my salary goes up. But not only that, I also got them to split with me revenue on my radio show, and Kenton gave me that deal, and the deal went on well, and I was there for two extra years. So if you believe in your brand enough, you can be able to pull off those types of deals.
Tell us about Marawa TV.
It's crazy. I went to Egypt solely because Optimize had asked me to come and do a breakfast event for Brand SA. So we were there, the ambassador was there, you know, Egypt was there. And I was supposed to then come back to South Africa. Attended a couple of games, the great Kalusha Boilia, great friend of mine. He was like, no, I got a couple of tickets, VIP, let's go sit and watch a few games. Great. So now, you know, the broadcaster in me cannot be a VIP, so I'm not used to this. Remember, all my life I'm anchoring in studio. Yeah. You know, I'm doing the AFCON in studio. I'm either on the pitch or whatever. So that in me was just like, I'm feeling fidgety now. You know, so I got my phone and I'm like, there's Daniel the Bula Mukachi, greatest Nigerian player. There's Sarama Letuake, who was there. Let me flip.
Seize the moment.
Let me flip this camera. Let me go to these guys and let us go chat to these guys, because it doesn't make sense for me. I'm not used to just sitting there, oh, wonderful, or get a drink. And I kind of got to work when I'm supposed to be not working. You know, I'm supposed to be enjoying my unemployment. So that is how I started. Then I came back to SA. And I did, you know, the radio part of it, and the guys were like, okay, great, you know, because it's also my leave that I usually take on radio. But then I didn't take leave. I was wanting to come back. I wanted to do the radio show from Egypt. And the guys were like, do more of these Marawa moments, which I did. And I was like, okay, great. When I get to Egypt, we're going to do a whole link up and I'm going to broadcast my radio show from there. And, you know, so obviously that didn't happen. But, you know, Marawa TV happened.
Right.
And, you know, and the growth of it now is just something where you sit back and you're saying, whew, the demands, now the expectations, now the improvements, now the quality of the camera work that has to come in, now the improvement in the quality of the audio has to come in, because it's going to be a product that is going to be sellable. It's going to be a product that's not just going to be for here. If CNN are like, hey, we need to, okay, cool, here, yeah, take right. And use. And that is where we are now. I mean, we had a massive workshop again today, and we discussed, you know, the way forward. And it's just truly amazing, the growth of it, the demand of it, the welcoming nature of it. I had a great chat with Benny McCarthy. I quickly went to Cape Town. Terrible weather. So you move from 45 degrees to 5 degrees there. got another great interview. I mean, I can't really disclose now, but maybe next week, you know, which will be a big interview for me, for Marawa TV. And we keep grinding, as I said. For me, the only thing that will stop this machinery from going is lack of oxygen.
Let's all agree, I think, that we also need to start exporting what we're doing, because there's appetite for what we do
internationally
in the rest of the world,
sure,
and especially on this continent. And there are plenty of people who are taking their cue from you gentlemen. So I look forward to our next conversation. It is a great
pleasure.
So
are we doing this once a month?
I think so. We could.
So when are the girls here? Because I'd love to hear the girls.
You're welcome to come.
We'll go sit in the audience.
We'll get that organized. Yeah. I can tell you, the sponsors are keen. I'm sure that we will be doing a few of these, and I really appreciate you pioneers all being part of this. I have the world of respect for all of you. And thank you for being here for tonight's session. I know you've got busy things, busy lives. There are many people.
Myself and Robert are recently unemployed, so we're good.
Ah, please, for so short a time.
So, Fresh, you're on air from August, from the 1st?
From the 1st of August, yes. Okay. Josie, there's a new mayor in town, and stand
very
up.
Very nice. Thank you so much.
I think I need to say this one. Fresh, you know, I always tell you.
Yes,
I write about it in my books. I always have to remind you. Thank you, bro.
No, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
I got you.
For where I am today, and I look at myself and I remember that little boy that you came and embraced on your show to even become a judge.
Yeah.
And just
he used to judge DJ competitions on my show. So.
And just the opportunities that you gave me.
Yeah.
And you'd allow me to come with you to gigs. And Kabzela did the same thing. Fejo did the same thing. Root Boy did the same thing. So I always just want to always remind you. I appreciate it, bro. No, thank
man.
You.
Pleasure. Love
thank
you, man. You.
Thank you so much, guys. This is a special broadcast. It's pure
I want to say thank you, Robert Marawa. You know what? That's wrong. Come on.
Please
somebody get it. Robert, I want to thank you. I want the world to know right now. Do you know how I feel when people ask me where you live? I say same place as Robert. We neighbors. That's my address now. So, Robert, I want to thank you for being my neighbor on SABC platform and being my neighbor literally in real life.
In life.
Yeah.
But more significantly,
this gentleman here, he is the sacrificial lamb. He had to dive into the pool first to know that it's possible, not just to swim, but to hit some backstroke. So shout out to you, Gareth, because we had to learn to survey the land through how you tread, and you're doing it with resilience. You're doing it to such an extent that not only did
you know you want to make him cry, right?
He didn't just disrupt, but he's
Nando Soviets. Yeah.
So now, because of Gareth, if you are suspended for more than 2 weeks, you know you got an option.
Gentlemen, thank you so much.
May we add to what Touch is saying, though?
Yeah.
I think we often don't pay enough homage to you for being the pioneer that you became.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people thought you were batshit crazy.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact that it wasn't always smooth sailing. And more often than not, the first 3, 4, 5 years are when it's actually the Musunuriest. But if nobody says it to you enough times, we see you, bro. And we appreciate what you've done, the sacrifices, risking disappearing into obscurity, because this is what you believe in.
Well, and I batted for you. The one thank time you, when it was
you all batted for me when I was in shin against our mutual enemy.
Yeah.
And they wanted to take me down. You all came out to bat for me. I will never forget that. I am in your debt forever.
So. Yo, I didn't know it was gonna be like that to protect this man on that thing.
How was that man inside?
And they came on me, bro.
They will come for all of us.
Right, you're waiting all. For your name to be called. What do you say? Your body shaking with disbelief.
But you never,
never,
ever
wait for it before.
That's how old you guys
love
are.
For nothing. Love for nothing.
Thank you very much.
You know that?
Oh, man.
I think Touch only knows Tevin Campbell. Can.
Thank you to Vincent. Thank you.
What a time.
For a minute. Can I want to know your name?
And then we find out Tevin.
He's gay. Like, what's going on?
And that his real surname is Kambule.
Oh, thank you guys. Thank you. Man. Thank you very much to Vintok. Thank you to you for joining us this evening. I hope you've been entertained. These guys will no doubt be back, and we'll have another episode of this with the ladies who have very much missed this evening. And Joe, shout out to Fat Joe who couldn't be here. He wanted to be here, and we'll have him on.
Shout out to the audience. Please give him some mic.
Audience,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you,
I think
everybody.
Cliff Central is the only place with a live studio audience, dude. You remind me of Sanford and Son. I was like, why are their voices laughing in the background? What is this?
This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, very nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
This was fun. The ladies' talk is going to happen next. We're all looking forward to it.
Yes.
Guys, please say goodbye to the people.
Okay, very good. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Say goodbye to the people.
Thank you very much, guys, for watching. Love.
This is CliffCentral.com.